Dave Meltzer, how are you, my friend?
Phenomenal would be an understatement. This is an extraordinary day for me. Whenever I see one of my amazing neighbors, people who have worked with me, just achieving so much and carrying forward my mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy. So thank you so much for Sandy being one of my 1,000 and carrying our mission forward.
Yeah, you know, when we first met and you talked about a billion people experiencing happiness, you know, it seems like such a massive number. But when you think about just like the ripple effect, like that can exist in the quantum of, you know, just making one person happy, how that trickle down effect can affect other people. I now see how the work you're doing and how it's going to change, you know, the whole world. So welcome to the show. I'm dying to ask, and I'm sure all of our viewers who are joining us from all different parts of the globe can't wait to hear from someone who had Tom Cruise play him in the movie Jerry Maguire. If they ever do a movie about me and Tom Cruise plays my part, I think I'd be quite honored. So with that, I want you to share your thoughts, if you can, on two different things. I know we only have you for a few minutes, but, you know, your best life being on the other side of your biggest fears and how you've kind of faced some of those fears. And then also, then we can maybe transition a little bit into just talking about how we relate to circumstances and changing the lens that we see life unfolding and how that can change your life overall. You've had such an amazing experience with life. What would you care to share with those listening?
I would love to share, because those are two of the critical shifts in the paradigm of my own existence. And the first is about fear. I spent millions of dollars on personal and professional development and therapy, trying to figure out how the traumas, the past life trauma, the womb, the toddler, the infant, the tween, the teen, the 20s, 30s, 40s, and now my 50s trauma has created a fear, and how that fear has interfered with my potential. And what I've concluded is a mechanism that has changed my life. And the mechanism is, I will never know what traumas are creating the fears of the present. But I do know that no matter where I am in the present, that fear will be present. And what I do know about fear is that we react to fear as humans in the human experience. And the way we react to fear is through the ego. And the ego creates an instant and obvious reaction. It doesn't need personal development. It doesn't need professional development. And it certainly doesn't need therapy, because when you have a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, frustrated, worried, all things that you and I have shared together in our own friendship, it's instant and obvious. When I'm worried, I don't need a therapist to tell me I'm worried. When I'm pissed off, I don't need a therapist to tell me I'm pissed off. But where this paradigm has shifted for me and the relationship with fear interfering with my potential is that we must focus on our response to the instant and obvious, our response to the reaction to fear. And there's only one response, and I've defined that as free will in the human experience. And that definition stems from the only way to shorten the distance of resistance that the reaction to fear has in our lives when we have this separate, inferior, superior type of reaction. And it's to stop. Now, that seems really simple, but I want to remind everyone the simple things to do are simple not to do. And when you're in the heat of an argument, when you're worried about the future, it's not so simple to tell ourselves stop, and let alone to actually stop. The second is to drop, to breathe through our nose. The four breath work that we just easily do is one of the mechanisms that we can use to drop down to ease, to center, to remind, remember, and recollect with God, with Source, and be at ease so that we can roll into the divine direction. In other words, my simple relationship to fear is when my mind, body, and soul are on fire, it's instant and obvious. I know that it is a reaction to fear. I don't give a shit what I'm afraid of, but I know I'm reacting to fear. I know my mind, body, soul, and on fire. And everybody knows when you're on fire, you need to stop. you need to drop and you need to roll in your divine direction towards your potential. And that epiphany of a paradigm shift of fear has changed my own path and has allowed me to spend the majority of the time in divine, either a divine detour or divine direction, and stop interfering with my potential. So now when I have those natural reactions of fear, I only spend minutes and moments accelerating in the wrong direction, creating cortisol in my own system. I now spend more time in the divine.
That's so beautiful. I love it. I think, a lot of times when we hear something like that, it sounds so easy, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Simple things.
But when you're in it, it's very difficult to like really remember because, you know, things are pumping. You got adrenaline. You know, one of the mechanisms I've been able to put into my life is realizing that life presents us with people and circumstances to show us where we're stuck or not free. So every time now that I get that feeling, I'm able to remember, oh, this is just showing me where I'm stuck. It's not the person over there who has the problem. They're a divine being. They're just being. I'm the one who has the issue. So let me recenter and magically they will recenter. So that brings us to the next part of the conversation, which is just how we relate. Talk a little bit about how you've learned to relate to circumstances in your life and how that's changed your trajectory.
Well, most recently, especially even since the time that we were working together, circumstances and uncertainty have played a critical role in my own growth. And what I mean by that is, as you know, I've always been, my love language, I should say, has always been time. And so here's how I've developed my own framework and strategy with circumstance. I believe that we are having a human experience that is bookend by our heart starting and our heart stopping. To understand circumstances is to understand non-negotiable behavior. And so one of the newer things that I'm teaching and utilizing in my own life is to really understand that when we have non-negotiable behavior, circumstances play no role in our pursuit of our potential. They have no role in the acceleration, aggregation, and compounding of our capability in this human experience. So what I do is I start with the obvious, which is sleep. So I make sleep a non-negotiable. A minimum of 7 hours a day, 7 days a week, I will make sure that I have a sleep coach, an unwinding routine. I am going to be in the Hall of Fame of Sleep. I'm one of the best sleepers in the world for the sake of recovery and access of information and inspiration. And so then I move to a minimum of an hour on my health where I focus in on what God tells me is most important, which is he says, number one, if you don't sleep, you die, your heart stops. If you don't eat, you die. If you don't drink, you die. If you don't move, you die. And if you don't breathe, you die. So I have experts helping me with the non-negotiable behaviors that keep my heart beating and allow me to accelerate, aggregate, and compound. Then I go to a minimum of an hour a day with my family and relatives. Then I go to finance and faith and the study of time and the study of relativity. And so for 12 hours a day minimum, circumstance has no play and no role in my human experience because I know that it's non-negotiable 7 days a week. And here's the thing, 90% of my success comes from taking care of the non-negotiables in a minimum amount of time. Now, the freeing thing is that I also spend 12 hours a day of awake time. Remember, most people, that 12 hours of non-negotiable, most of it's sleep. So it's really not a taxing OCD type of activity. But more importantly, now I get really good at aligning the other 12 hours of activity in my day with what's important to me according to the circumstances of the day, the interest rates, the weather, all the different things that disrupt or interfere with our potential. And I also align the meaning of the past, the lessons of the past, the failures, setbacks, mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances of the past, which God has given me the power to give meaning to, by the way. And I align that meaning with the divine direction in which I choose. Now, I do make exceptions on my non-negotiable behavior. I am human. Sometimes it is a taxing challenge to get all of the minimums in. but I never stack two L's, two losses in a row. So if I should have to take an exemption on one of my non-negotiables, it then becomes a super priority, and I make sure that it doesn't become a new behavioral path. It just was a mistake, a setback, or an exemption because of circumstances that were outside of my control. So in the relationship with circumstance, half of my life is non-circumstantial. It's non-negotiable. And then I'm getting better at the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastination with the negotiable circumstantial behavior, because I'm constantly aware, intentional of doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in alignment with my prioritization of the now and the next. And prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. If you know how to prioritize, if you know what to do now and know what to do next, it's impossible to feel overwhelmed or procrastinate.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm wondering too, if you can speak from, you know, your journey where you amassed 100 million, went bankrupt, and now here you are leading a much more expansive life with those non-negotiables. It seems to me from the outside, because of those non-negotiables, your expansion actually makes room for more people, and, you know, more tolerance, more everything. Which, could you speak a little bit to that? Because that relationship, as I've seen, is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's so ironic. It's counterintuitive to think when you're mission-driven, not only do the commissions follow, but productivity follows, accessibility follows, and gratitude follows. And so being chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, understanding when you have a definiteness of purpose, you are not searching for your why. You're applying your why. And so you have faith in something that's more than enough of everything for everyone. You have faith that you're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you think you want to be. And so within the context of that meaning, with for the sake of others or whatever your mission may be, lies within it the everything for everyone concept, this omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source, this infinite, abundant, unified system of thought in which we all belong to. So no longer will we trade or negotiate. No longer is there a need to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like. But instead, you're constantly giving more, being given more, even though you don't always know what you're given. When I lost everything over $100 million, I didn't know all that I was given, but I was given more. And then to receive more, and then to ask for more than more, so that we can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. You see where we now are going to end up in that universe abundantly with more than enough of everything for everyone. And this is a perspective that is not only one in which requires you to pay attention, but it also demands, or I should say commands, works with the universe, command, the intention to do, say, think, feel, and be, because the mathematical equation of luck, Sandy, is what we pay attention to and what we give our intention to equals the coincidences in our lives, the coinciding, the commanding of our lives, the coincidences that others deem to be luck, and it's not. I always say, don't call me lucky when I have failed more times than you've tried, and a lot of people do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think I would relate to that as just awareness. You know, you taught me early on that the only thing in between you and the amazing life you think you want is your resistance to it. It's yes. All trying to enter. It's all around you. You just have to slow down and realize it's not over there. It's right in front of you. Calm down, open your eyes, and you'll see that person wanting to write a check, needing your help. They're here. You're just too busy chasing a life you think you want that you think is over there. You think it's in the future. How are you on time? I know you were kind enough to give us
about 9 minutes more for you. So I got a hard stop at 1:30 Pacific.
So let's talk a little bit then about your new role as chairman of the Napoleon Hill Institute. Congratulations. What a phenomenal accolade and opportunity for you. What are the amazing things you all are doing?
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing is, why was it so important to me? And not only did Think and Grow Rich, but Outwitting the Devil and the Success Principles of Napoleon Hill have an extraordinary impact on several different seasons of my life, especially starting off as a 19-year-old entrepreneur. But more importantly, what I've seen in the content game really motivated me and inspired me to be chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. I see some of my great mentors like Bob Proctor and Dr. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, that because they did not create a social silo, they did not perpetuate their content on the digital format, and they are not promoting it, all of their lessons are getting lost in the noise. And unfortunately, there's a lot of 19-year-old life coaches out there trying to pretend like they're Bob Proctor, Wayne Dyer, and Deepak Chopra, and they're not. And so I saw the opportunity to be chairman of something that already had built a legacy, over a half a billion books sold, world renowned, and be able to place the content of my mentors, the Brian Tracys and the Maxwells and the Dyers and the Proctors and the Zig Ziglars of the world, all of these amazing mentors with amazing content, but to be able to house them under a brand, under an institute that can help our future generations, not only with the mindset, but the heart set and the handset, in order to accelerate in an appropriate direction. You see, our bench is deep with our young people. We just got to make sure that we're surrounding them with the right people and the right ideas. And those were the people that have instilled an empowering state of mind, heart, and handset that helped me and has helped you not only achieve in our personal, professional, athletic lives, but in our spiritual journey as well, to make life easy, as you mentioned earlier, by identifying the dis-easy. And when we can shorten that distance of resistance, one of the things I've also learned or taught since you and I were working together, you know, every struggle, every challenge only exists because we have a body. If you didn't have a body, there'd be no pain, no struggle, no challenges. But within the context of that struggle, pain, and challenge, the solution is already there. It's just a lapse of time before we find the resolution, the resolution of that struggle, pain, or setback. And so what we want to do, as you suggested, is shorten that distance of resistance between the struggle and the resolution, the resolution, by seeking wisdom, which is what my intention is of running the Napoleon Hill Institute, but also with faith, a simple faith that there's something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom, that knows everything, has an omniscient, all-powerful, more than enough energy and inspiration for everything and everyone. And when you start realizing that, if you could have met Sandy Golgart when I met him, and the conversations that were stuck in a vacuum with his boss and his owner of his company and these business deals, and then to see him today in an expansive, expansive life, empowering others, and so much ease, your energy and your entire frequency has changed dramatically.
Don't I know it? You know, it's wild. It's such a game of opposites. You know, when I first came to you, it was a chasing energy. Like, Dave, how can you help me amass this many millions? Yeah. What I learned out of that was the key to all of it was actually learning how to relax, how to realize that there weren't any problems. It's the illusion of problems. And how do you dissolve that by removing interference, being able to see both sides of somebody's opinion, make room for it, not be in conflict, you know, and not being in a state of resistance, you know, to life. So I owe a lot of that back to those early conversations. It's kind of fun to think back, but I'm sure a lot of people tuning in have that same grip on the wheel of life, feeling like I need to control where this goes because I'm afraid if I don't know, it might take me to a bad place. And realizing the power of just taking your hands off the wheel and relaxing into that. So how can people get a free copy of one of the great books that I've read, Connected to Goodness, David Meltzer, your first book?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, I will, if anyone in your community would like a free book, I will sign a book, send it to them, Connected to Goodness. I will pay for the book and for shipping. So just email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. If you email me directly at david@dmeltzer.com, I'll sign a book, send it to you, pay for the book and shipping. On my mission, I know that's the best way to start if you're going to be part of our neighborhood, do empower others, do empower others. Sandy's a student extraordinaire, and now he's living as one of my 1,000s. He's empowering thousands to empower thousands because he gets it, he understands it, and a good place to start is Connected to Goodness and my mission of empowering over 1 billion people. And I appreciate the platform, but most of all, there is nothing that makes somebody feel better than when they're able and capable of helping somebody else. And I can see where you're at today, the frequency and the energy that I played a small role in guiding you to do the work. You did the work. You are credited for the whole thing, but I'm just pleased that I could guide you and your energy to the right place with the right people and the right ideas.
Yeah, well, so much of it starts by meeting with and sharing with people who are already there. One of the things that I've learned to appreciate is people who are in the place that you want to be always want to lift you up. People in the place that you might be leaving always want to pull you back. And that's been a big lesson. Lastly, before we let you go, Dave, when you become more expansive and you start doing business deals, clearly you can do them with great people or you can do them with dicks. Tell us about your newest book coming out. Yeah. Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Well, I got a long pre-order cycle because I wanted to mirror the football season. So I launched pre-order in the first game of the season, and I'm going to launch the book at the Super Bowl on Radio Row with Apple TV, Sirius XM, Reach TV. So we'll have a great launch with all the different outlets and capability that we have there. But Don't Do Business with Dicks. It has a great commercial title. I've learned that compassionate capitalism, game time decision, unstoppable, creating the life you love and Connected to Goodness are fantastic best-selling books. But that title doesn't stop people at the airport. That title, Don't Do Business with Dicks, I promise you, it has stopped people when I was writing it. It stops people when they hear it. And they are going to be compelled to surround themselves with the right people and the right idea. Don't let the title fool you. It is about kindness. It is about peace and ease. And although it has a hook as a title, what's inside that cover, I promise you, will change your life and change other people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, it seems also like it's sort of a slant towards one of the non-negotiables that you might have, creating healthy boundaries. You can try and be busy and do it with the wrong people and be sucked into an energy that's depleting. I imagine that's probably part of the book, if not the whole thing.
Absolutely. It's a paradigm shift of I am, not this is what I want people to think I am. It's an energy dissipator between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. And if you want to live in the world of I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy, this book will show you what you're doing to interfere with it. The people, places, things, situations, ideas, content, a variety of things that you have to protect yourself from, creating those boundaries to live at ease.
Amazing. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an unbelievable pleasure. We're super grateful and always great to see you. Always great to catch up.
You're always invited. We can't wait to do more with you. I'm incredibly proud. Remember, I love you. I'm proud of you. And I always have your back, Sandy Goldgart. Thank you so much.